But why would you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't talking something weird and carnal. I was actually talking something real.
You actually think readers deserve promises? You actually think we should keep promises to readers?
You know, if you could string three or four words together in the order that actually makes sense, that would help.
If I could do that, I would not be a host on this show. That's the theory anyway. I don't know how it really works. It's possible the host cats ate them. That's very possible.
The host cats?
Hosts cats.
Oh, I didn't hear cats. You properly.
I wish we had host cats. This would be a much better, more popular show if we had host cats.
we'd need like filters. Or cat ears or something. There's probably one or two sets of cat ears somewhere in this house, not attached to a cat for costuming purposes.
Oh, for costuming purposes. Well, the way that was said could easily be misunderstood that you've got a bunch of earless cats wandering around the room.
No. I mean, they don't listen anyway, so...
Of course not. They're cats. What are they ears for? Well, howdy, folks, and welcome to another brain-damaged episode of the Deb Robot Society. I'm Paul E. Cooley. There's Veronica Jaguar, and, of course, that guy Terry Mixon down there. Howdy and welcome. What we're talking about, I have no idea. We started off in the pre-show with some pretty crazy stuff, and then it just kind of leaked out into here, and you know, here we are. So, anyway, that's what's going on. All right, Gus. Sorry we missed last week.
Things were not good for Paul last week.
No.
So, I'm still getting over COVID for the most part, but we had a family emergency and all that's more or less taken care of. So, but I lost basically a week to the hospital. But I wasn't a patient for once. So all that shit's over. Things appear to be getting back to normal. Just shit that happens when you get old. I'll leave it at that. But I couldn't be left alone. Terry had to try and one-up everything by doing what, Terry?
What? All I did was get COVID. It's not like I did anything weird.
See, you know, everybody has to get COVID. We're all talking about this. It's like all the people who hadn't gotten COVID, yeah, we're getting fucking hit.
Finally!
It's happened.
My life is not the mess that your life is in the month of March.
My month of March is a bad country western song. And that's saying something considering I don't believe there are any good country western.
I'm pretty sure that no one else is
involved too, wasn't there?
Horse steal their truck.
No horse stole my truck. Horse stole my breath, passed out and hit a tree. It's all a country western kind of thing. I'm sure of it. Something like that.
You just need a banjo and you're set.
Oh my God.
I don't want to go there.
No, I really don't. Oh my God. I have this scary image of being on the porch with a banjo. And that's just, that would be the last thing this neighborhood needs. They see so much other shit that would just be like, I can't. I just can't. Where does it end?
Although I'm now imagining if somebody, you know, the call for DRS fan art, I need a picture of Paul on the front porch with a banjo sitting next to a possum.
And the possum's smoking a doobie.
There's your new
He's a picking and he's a grinning.
He's a picking and grinning.
I'm trying to remember the name of the musicians that were on that show, and it's evading me. It was something Clark. Bill
Roy Clark.
Roy Clark. What was the other one's name? Something Owens.
Guy, not Guy Owens. Is it Guy Owens?
No, it's not Guy. But it was something Owens, and I was thinking the Owens guy would be perfect, you know, as a model for you for the banjo.
I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
He was really amazing with the banjo. I got to tell you, he was pretty good.
Have you ever listened to Steve Buck Martin Owens. Play the banjo?
Buck Owens? Okay.
Buck Owens.
You ever listened to Steve Martin play the banjo?
He is amazing.
He's incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's hardly my favorite instrument in the world, but wow. Some of those folks that can that can mess with that thing are just so incredibly talented. It's amazing.
If I had ever been to a show of his where I had no idea that he could play the banjo and he brought it out and did that in front of me, I would have been standing there with my mouth hanging open in total and utter shock because I could not believe it.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Wow, chat just got crazy. If you play a country track backwards, you get a wife, your dog comes back to life, and the bank gives you a farm.
Yep.
Now, that's the one that, okay, here's a question for
I'm sorry, I cut all the tags off my hats when I buy them. Sorry.
How would you
reboot, I do the same to my shirts.
How would you reboot Hee Haw in today's day and age?
I'm not sure you could.
You couldn't. You really couldn't.
Does that kind of show even exist anymore? The skit show? I mean, other than Kids in the Hall, is there really anything out there like that anymore? I know the
late night shows try to do something like it, but it's not in the same league.
No, it's not the same thing.
No, there aren't.
The Carol Burnett style shows are gone. They're dead. The kind of musical skits and everything else that go along with it. I can't really think of that existing anymore. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think some of the streaming services tried to reboot them as specials during 2020 and early 2021 because they couldn't get anybody into, you know, studios. Right. So they would have people who were, you know, bubbled or quarantined together putting on stuff, and then they would sync them up. But I can't think of any. A lot of your skits and stand-up comedy, it's very much gone to, you know, YouTube or subscription stuff where people have their single channels.
It's just very interesting.
I find myself in agreement with that sentiment.
I think the format, that for whatever reason, that format fell out. I mean, I don't think I would enjoy it in today's day and age, to be honest, because most of the music that would be popular, I can't stand. But it just is funny because I just think about that. We've been joking about it and everything else, but man, I think I probably watched every single effing episode of Hee Haw ever effing made during my childhood.
Yep, truth.
And
did you get to watch the Lawrence Welk show too?
I was absolutely never really abused by being exposed to Liberace or Guy Lombardo or Lawrence Welk. I managed to miss all of that. Thank you very much. My grandma would not watch Liberace when I was there. Thank Christ.
I mean, the most recent one that I can think of that I watched was The Muppet Show, because The Muppet Show had that same format where you had the skits and then you had musical appearances. And then in the late 80s, early 90s, there were a couple kids shows that tried to reboot that. There was one of the late 80s, early 90s called Roundhouse, I think. And that was on Nickelodeon during their Nick at Night on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
And then in the mid-90s, there was All That, which was a huge hit, and that was still skit comedy, and that spun off a bunch of actors, the big one being Kenan Thompson. That's where he got his start, and then he wound up, you know, catapulting into SNL and all these things. So,
uh-oh.
Am I trying to imply The Muppets was a kid's show? Matt, no, it was not a kid's show.
But... yes, it was. I watched it when I was a kid.
Right. You watched it when you were a kid because some people thought, hey, there's, you know, talking felt things. But you go back and watch it? Oh, no. There were so many jokes and innuendos and weird
shit. And I caught a lot of that even when I was a kid, which is one of the reasons I absolutely love that show.
See, I just, there were three shows I remember watching with my parents before, when I was under the age of, I think, six. And it was The Muppet Show, Star Trek the original series when it was in the first round of reruns, and 60 Minutes. So that should tell you everything about my mentality growing up.
The Muppet Show, where they glorified domestic violence.
Unfortunately. And several other really cringeworthy things. But, yeah.
Miss Piggy really did things to that. Poor Kermit. Oh, my gosh.
God damn it. That was, yeah, Piggy was just abusive on every fucking level. She was a sociopath.
No, she was a narcissist.
When I was a kid, I didn't catch on to the whole domestic violence angle. But I'm sitting here listening to that. I'm thinking back, going right now. I'm sitting here going, "Oh shit, that was domestic violence."
It was big time. Oh, Kermit, and she just starts beating the shit out of him. I was like, "What the hell?" Dara says Muppets was boring. Never got into it or Fraggle Rock.
God, I loved Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle Rock was cool. Fraggle Rock was cool. I watched it as a kid, and that ended up inspiring the streak. Enough said.
I'm pretty sure that if all of us went back and like listed the top 10 things that we watched kids, yeah. And you would either be really surprised or you'd go, no, that tracks. That kind of makes sense. This explains a lot. Oh my goodness.
I got in trouble for sharing a meme about, God, what was the name of the show? The one that had Bo and Luke Duke in it. Dukes of Hazzard.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
I shared the General Lee kind of painted as a Star Wars Millennium Falcon painted with the Confederate flag, saying that's a totally different kind of rebel. And I got fussed at for sharing that.
JR, I will completely agree with you on that one. The original Thundercats, so good.
Ugh.
And ugh. the voiceover for Panthro, heck yes. Fantastic. Oh, I loved that. Ugh. They tried to reboot it in more of like an anime style with a little more drama to it, and I was here for it, but they didn't keep it going.
I don't remember what the show is, but there was one where they had five little mechs that joined together into one big mech. And
Voltron.
Voltron. I love that show.
Yeah, in the other office where the Mighty Ginger has his stuff, there is an original Voltron that is all put together. The Lego version of that is in his office at his work, which says a lot about him too.
Did you see the Japanese live action Battleship Yamamoto?
No.
It was actually really good. You could only understand it with subtitles in English because it was all in Japanese and it was all live action, and it was actually pretty good.
I've been afraid to go back and watch the original series because I think it would be like Gatchaman. I think my childhood nostalgia does not fucking match up with what was really in those cartoons. So yeah. I've been afraid to go back to that because the fragments of memories that I have are very pleasant and cool and inspiring from a sci-fi writer perspective. And I don't want to fuck that up by going back and seeing what it looks like now. I just do not want to do that to myself. No, thank you.
There were some, I think... I went back and watched Outlaw Star with the subtitles, and it still held up. That was great. If you're a Firefly fan, there are lots of parallels. But it's 90s anime. It's decent stuff. There's a cat girl, as it has to have. But yeah, there are others that I remember watching that as when I was younger that I wouldn't even try. I'm not going to go back and watch, you know, the original He-Man and She-Ra. Those will live as happy, happy little memories for, you know, 8-year-old Veronica standing in front of the TV.
I wanted to vomit when I first saw those things. I can't imagine going back and looking at them now after having enjoyed them. I have a feeling that would just be like Facepalm City.
Oh, come on. I would... 8-year-old me standing there, you know, yelling at the TV, I have the power. Yes.
And of course, you've got, you're a little bit older than that, and you go with The Adventures of Hercules and Xena the Warrior Princess.
Never got into those. Never watched that stuff.
I don't think I was allowed to watch that.
They were actually, for what they were, pretty entertaining.
Huh. Not my thing. Not my thing. I liked it darker and grittier.
Having Bruce Campbell as the sidekick show up in the Xena the Warrior Princess stuff was pretty funny. He makes a great sidekick.
That was a thing?
It was.
Wow. Okay.
That reminds me, did either of you ever see the movie? I think it was in the 2000s. It was a movie called Sky High.
Maybe.
It was about a high school for kids of superheroes.
Oh, and, I know of the movie.
And it helped them all get into their different different powers. And Bruce Campbell has a cameo as the PE instructor. And he's his superpower is something with a boom, hence the boomstick, but he yells and the sonic waves push people back. It's fantastic. And I think, is it Linda Carter? Linda Carter's the principal of the school. So it's got some really neat cameos there.
I'm pretty sure that I saw it. I just don't remember very much of it.
Was Kurt Russell in that?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm remembering the adverts.
Yeah, it's bizarre. The soundtrack is decent.
Mildred says, most of what we grew up with didn't age well, or Gods it still applies too much. Like the premise of Remington Steele may still be applicable. We were just talking about that.
We did. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they've been last show. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There are some things that changed and other things that haven't really moved all that much. That's why the 70s and 80s and 90s are such three weird decades to look at in what happened and how things progressed. Very, very odd.
I like Bruce Campbell in the work he did with the spy show. I've forgotten what TV show that was.
Burn Notice.
He made a great ex-CIA guy.
He was an ex-SEAL, right? I think he was an ex-SEAL.
In the series?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he was an ex-CIA agent.
No, that was the main character, not
I think Campbell was too. I don't know. I'll look it up. But I liked him in the role anyway.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome. He's freaking awesome. Yeah, Sam Axe. That's such a great name. Yeah, Terry, did you see the spinoff film?
I don't know that I did.
You believe this bullshit? Some writer comes in here and says, I see a bunch of writers not writing. Believe that horse
shit? You do?
They believe that? Damn.
I have 2/3 of a finished outline right here in paper because I'm old school and have to write stuff out. And then
Chat, you're right. He was a Navy SEAL.
Chat's getting snarky. You know that? Chat Clearly. Is getting snarky. Wow. So what else would you not be able to reboot these days? Or what would you want to reboot? Maybe that's a better question.
What you could reboot is maybe a much shorter list than what you can.
Yeah, true.
What would you want to reboot?
Nothing. I want to see brand new works. I'm tired of seeing reboots.
Is this where I say amen, hallelujah?
I don't know. I think, I've been seeing... I've been seeing a lot of properties get rebooted for kids or, younger teenagers, and they'll change the premise. One of the things that I will sadly confess to reading in my misspent youth were the Sweet Valley High books, which horrible fluff nonsense. But I was out shopping last weekend with my daughter, and somebody had taken that property and pulled it younger. So I guess rather than them being in high school, they were in like upper elementary, middle school, and it was more of a graphic novel. And I'm like, those characters really weren't that strong to begin with. Are they just trying to capitalize on the idea that parents will remember the name and the property and that they'll pass it on to their kids?
That's a really shitty marketing plan.
Yeah.
Cynical. Very cynical.
And it wasn't that great to begin with, and it wasn't... It's not the kind of property that I would pass on to my daughter and say, hey, this was really cool. You should read this. I'm like, this is terrible. Can we go read something where we fight with swords and shoot stuff up and, you know, like win the battles? That would be way cooler. You know, less Sweet Valley High, more Princess Kelsey.
I'd like to see Logan's Run rebooted.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, last time as well.
I think that's about the only property that I can think of that I'd actually like to see rebooted.
It's like if they fucked it up so bad, or if the original was so... I don't consider Logan's Run a seminal film of any shape, fashion, or form. I remember portions of it. I remember it being very cool at the time. I remember all I wanted was a Logan's Run gun because Sandman was so fucking cool and all of that. But it's not a movie I really think about unless I'm talking to Terry fucking Mixon. So I do think if they went back and they produced it, if they went back to the original books, as you've talked about, I think that would be an awesome 3-season run. And they'd update it. They'd have to update it quite a bit, but they could still go with the same premise.
Now, I don't expect this to happen, and it wouldn't be the good thing to happen to it, but I can imagine Sandman or Logan's Run being redone in like a John Wick style. That could be amusing.
Brett says Logan's Run reboot has been in development hell.
It has been.
Fuck.
They keep thinking it's going to come out of it. They keep thinking something's going to happen, but it never does.
How hard could it be? Call Terry Mixon. Get him in the writer's room.
You want a story? I'll get you a story.
Oh, Brett says they are trying to go back to the books. Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to go back to the original source material, and I keep hoping they'll make it, but they just haven't ever made it out of the shoot yet. I do keep my eye on that because that's one that I'm interested in.
I find it kind of horrifying when you see some of the things that they are coming out with. And it's like, can we stop? Can we please stop? No more reboots. Can we please no more Marvel properties? No more DC properties. Can y'all just go get something new, please?
Here's where I cringe.
Produced by M. Night Shyamalan. Oh, boy.
That would be insane. I see runners everywhere.
No.
I see old people. I see old people everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Runner. You know what? I wonder if the Warriors, which came out a few years later, I wonder if they stole that from Logan's Run. There's a scene in Logan's Run where they've got that one trapped. It's the very beginning, and they're going, runner, runner. Sounds like Warriors. It's very similar in my brain. Logan's Run by Tarantino. No.
Everyone would be slipping on the blood. It would be like, no. I just, that's another. There's some movies that you can watch over and over again. I realize Pulp Fiction is not, even in Kill Bill, both those, I can't watch them again. It's just like, oh good, this is, it has all the appeal of, you know, a Saturday afternoon USA matinee.
I have no idea what that is, but it sounds horrific.
Oh, okay. But the reference of like USA Network back before when we could have everything on demand, all of like the really
yeah, but I don't remember
B-movies.
Their matinee marathons. I must yeah. have not been exposed to that. Who would you want to produce Logan's Run? That's an interesting question. Certainly not M. Night Shyamalan.
No.
I'm trying to think if somebody could stay pretty close to the source material and would want to, and would be able to basically find the director with the right vision for it. I'm not coming up with anybody.
A lot of the themes in the original Logan's Run stuff have a very Western vibe. I think that somebody that is a good producer for Westerns might be a decent producer for something like Logan's Run.
You'd want it as, so you're talking as like a three season.
Yeah, like three seasons.
Eight or 13 episode sort of thing.
I'm saying even for a movie. Somebody like Clint Eastwood that understands how the strong central character in something like that work would make a good producer for a work like that, I think.
I could see that.
Maybe the folks of Westworld.
That's not necessarily a wrong thing, no.
I think they would be able to have the vision for that. Kurosawa, oh God. Yeah, can we get Akira Kurosawa to come do this, please? You know, that really surprises me. Is there, maybe nobody's asked the question, is there a Japanese work that's similar in inspiration? In anime or film? It seems like something that they would have. Interesting. This is strange questions. I can only really look at the producer's work, and none of the names come to mind. I can tell you what shows I think have the right look and have the right understanding of character that I've seen. And you can go off those, you know, from that writing team or that directing team or whatnot. But Westworld's the only one I can think off the top of my head that's still relatively recent that I think grabbed the feel of that. Because it's got the alienation that goes along with everything else, which is important for it. Xander says, fun fact, Edge of Tomorrow is an adaptation of manga. Which one is Edge of Tomorrow?
It's the one where he dies over and over and over again.
Oh, that's the one I know, so I'm supposed to have on loop because I hate Tom Cruise so much. Right. Got it.
It was actually a really decent movie for what it was as well. It was it is one of my favorite Tom Cruise works, I think. It was not what I expected when I saw it.
Who directed Cowboy Bebop? A guy
they should be taken out and beaten.
The guy who's currently living in his trash can, a trash can.
Yeah, that was such high hopes, and the casting had such promise, and yeah.
Guy who did Arrival and Blade Runner 2049. Yeah. Yeah, God. I think he gets it.
I don't know. Only if somebody can go along. Only if somebody can go along and not make it like Blade Runner 2049. If they cut the scenes down so it doesn't drag everything out.
I don't understand why people think that movie drags. I don't get it.
It was slow.
I don't get it. I do not get it. You know what? If there's not a gun firing every 30 seconds, you can't watch it. God. So hopeless.
Wait, there's a cat. There's a cat.
Julius has said, I need my loves now. You was talking. I must come.
Blade Runner is trash. Well, JR, you can have your hot take, but you can also suck on some cold snot.
Ew, that's gross.
That is gross. But Julius is handsome.
So. Oh, that's right. This is Julius now. Julius has now established that Terry belongs to him.
Like, he's very possessive.
Purr. We can hear that purr, dude. Tim says he hates to agree with Terry, but he does think 2049 is pretty slow.
It would have been a fine movie if each scene had been forced to cut one-third of the time they spent on it. Seriously, if they just sped it up, you know, one-third speed up, we're good.
Oh, God, it's Philistines. I'm just Philistines, surrounded by Philistines. Nathan, such anger from the hosts.
Wow.
We're here for your hatertainment. That's what we're here for. Damn, speaking of hatertainment, wow, that is just, that purr is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. It's like between the let me rub all over your face and the Dad, so stop hatred-y. Talking to the crazy peoples and love me, Dad.
No, we're not going to talk puppies and kitties instead. We're not going to talk about them. Before we got sidetracked, Xander, we are always sidetracked. You should have known that by now.
Yeah.
Well, see, this kind of goes back, I guess, to what we were talking about. Terry feels like he got lied to with 2049. He expected it to have some kind of pacing similar to Blade Runner and have more action in it, because that's what he wanted.
It didn't have to have more action. What you're saying is incorrect.
Okay.
I felt the pacing was slow for everything. Everything took too long. Everything. It could have been the exact same movie filled in two-thirds of the time. If they hadn't been so slow-paced, it would have been much better. I liked the movie, except the pace.
So you're saying that based on the previous movie, the original Blade Runner, and the genre itself, and all of the press leading up to it, it promised something that it didn't. It promised something more fast-paced than you feel it delivered.
I'm not sure that it actually promised something more fast-paced. I think this was a poor decision when it came to the actual production.
Okay.
He thinks the script needed an editor to whack about half.
No, I think that they needed to have a guy with a whip on the set to make the actors hurry up a little
bit.
Oh! so there was not enough urgency.
Everything was so laconic and slow that it dragged. It made the story feel way too slow. It's not that any single thing could have been done. Everything needed to be faster. Literally.
You know, now that I go back and think about it, and I'd have to go back and rewatch that movie, but it seems to me, spoiler alert, there's a lot of androids running around. It seems to me the pace was almost set by that. In other words, the artificial people running around were hiding so well that they had begun to move like tortoises as far as getting anything done or talking. I'll have to go back.
I'm pretty sure that the entire production team was replaced by replicants.
And not the combat models, huh?
Mm-mm.
More like a janitorial staff? A janitorial staff replicant. All right, now we're getting into the stories here. There you go. Let's see. Most of the scenes have a lot of dead silence showing off great-looking film. The sets and such of the film were great, but we don't feel like full minutes showing off a room. Okay, I can see that. I enjoyed it.
If there was like a director's cut where they cut some of that... Perfect.
When have you ever seen a director's cut that's shorter than the original film? I can't think of one. Terry, for Christmas, getting you a beard brush, dude, so you can keep it right by the table so you can just basically take it.
Not even a beard brush. Just you need like a lint roller. Just run it over.
And
I apologize if you're listening and not watching because Terry has just cleaned up his face with a lint roller.
Yeah, this is why they
That's what they call fan service, kids.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Back to the topic. Brett says it was meditative rather than mission-based. Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. You're allowed not to like it, or to have thought it was too slow. You're allowed to have those opinions. I'm just going to give you shit for them.
That's fine.
I liked it.
Your taste in movies is questionable anyway, so I'm not going
to
take that personally.
Of course it is. I'm the first one to admit my taste in anything is pretty goddamn questionable. Although, Trent Reznor put up what his favorite 10 bands were, and my three favorite bands were on there. So, I feel like, you know, I'm getting somewhere with the people. Matt says we could give it to the reduced Shakespeare company. They do the entire works of Shakespeare in one production, about an hour and a half long.
They are amazing. God. Have you seen them?
No,
I have not.
Oh, if YouTube reduced Shakespeare company, I think they managed to do everything with three or five players, and it is delicious chaos.
Oh, it has to be.
Oh, it's awesome.
So they just basically grab like little pieces and tidbits from monologues and string them together? Is that essentially what they do?
No, it's they take the bigger, like the main plots, and then if they're little subplots, they'll like fast forward through them and explain them.
Oh, okay.
And then sometimes they'll slow down on stuff that most people speed past and kind of explain more into it. I always say it's a good intro for people who claim that they hate Shakespeare because at the very least it gives you a good summary with nuance. So
you don't hate Shakespeare. You love Shakespeare. You just don't know it, but you've been seeing it all your fucking life in every goddamn program you've watched.
Yes.
In everything mythological or epic based, including Tolkien, that shit all comes from Shakespeare. All of it. So get over yourselves.
And now I have an earworm. Thank you so much.
Just wait and watch it, you know, performed on Gilligan's Island. That's all you really need.
Shakespearean Gilligan's Island. No, 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 no. We are not doing this. The professor is not doing Macbeth's speech, okay? Oh, Gilligan doing Hamlet's speech. That would be incredible. Tim says now is the winter of Paul's discontent. No, it's spring and it's fucking hot.
I saw a meme the other day that this Romeo saying, and Juliet is the sun. And from the balcony is that physicist that's always, you know, talking science going, no, she's not. Neil deGrasse Tyson. No, she's not.
It's like, please, you are the death of poetry. Brett says Sweet Valley High was based on Othello. What?
What? It is not. Hang on.
You may have broken her brain.
I may have.
No, no, no. I refuse.
Yeah.
I do not need to go down that rabbit hole. Okay?
This is for you, Terry. The professor is Lady Macbeth.
I can buy into that. I can totally buy into that.
Gilligan's Macbeth. That would be the most awesome thing ever. That would be great. That Skipper is Porthos or whatever his name is.
Well, who would Thurston Howell III be?
Oh, God, I can't remember all the characters from Macbeth. Oh, God. Well, in Othello, she'd have to be Desdemona.
So I posted the earworm. Yeah.
In the Discord? Yes,
in the Discord and the live show, there is a... So there, of course, if I'm posting, there's a musical. It's called Something Rotten. It is hysterical. Shakespeare is painted to be the villain.
Bankrupt.
And
thank you, Tim.
The main characters are trying to write the next big show, and they decide that it has to be a musical. So, but it's the show is full of jabs at the different Shakespearean plays, trends during the Renaissance. It's very well done. But throw that there because I don't think it would be a show if I didn't like say, hey, here's a musical that you can look at. Like, no.
Tim says Sons of Anarchy and The Lion King are both Hamlet. Yeah.
Yep.
They are. Absolutely.
Yep. However, the ending of Sons of Anarchy was crap, and I
haven't seen
still...
the last season. Not going to watch it either. Don't want to know.
Okay, because it was. I'm yeah, sorry, Jax Teller was a freaking great character.
Yeah, it was.
And just as an actor, holy crap, Charlie Hunnam! I will right there. Fantastic.
And, it broke my brain watching him do what he did in The Gentleman after watching Sons of Anarchy. I was like,
I just remember watching him during like, cause they tried the after show for a bit on AMC and he was there. And then he starts talking in his native accent about like all the psychological considerations. And my poor little nerd brain went, oh, wow. And my husband goes, are you okay? I will be.
I had a moment.
Oh, it was a moment. It was a great moment. It was a fantastic moment.
Look, the less said about Trellis and Cressida, the better. I can't remember if that's one of his first plays or not. I don't remember when that was in the canon.
Yes, it's one of the earlier ones.
Okay, that's probably why it sucks. I haven't seen it, though, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. Don't know. Wow, we have rattled for 40 minutes without finding a topic. This is glorious. I love this. I tried to get us on Reader Promises, but we skipped right over that shit.
Mm-hmm. I tried. So, I tried bringing it back, but dude.
So I had a dream the other day.
Oh, God. Did it include puppies?
I don't remember any puppies in there. But one of the key factors of it was like a reality television show thing, and I was Ryan Reynolds. which was an interesting experience being Ryan Reynolds. And while I was there, I ran into a local sheriff that was also Ryan Reynolds. And some other guy that was also Ryan Reynolds.
Can I buy some drugs from you?
I fever dreams. What can I say?
I want to be Ryan Reynolds.
I'm about to say those antivirals are some good shit.
Damn. They really are.
There was a lot of really flippant dialogue in there. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Right. I can't imagine. It'd be like having five Deadpools in the same place. That's just not the kind of chaos the world needs. God. John Wick versus Star Wars. I think there's actually, isn't there a comic book series called Hitman where he takes out all of the superheroes? I think he's a bounty hunter or something like that. I think it's a Garth Ennis joint, but I can't remember. I can't remember what it's called, but something like that. Huh. Oh, that reminds me. Did you ever see Being John Malkovich, Terry?
Yes.
Okay. When you said Ryan Reynolds, I was like, oh, God, it's Being Ryan Reynolds. And my brain just broke in so many interesting pieces. I can't put them
back
together.
I would watch that.
You would watch that Being Ryan Reynolds?
Or I'd watch a Ryan Reynolds-flavored version of, what was the Nick Cage one? Where Nick Cage plays himself and Pedro Pascal is like his biggest fan.
The overwhelming weight of something ego. I can't remember.
Yes. I would watch the heck out. I would like to see like a series of those with different, like, I'd like to see one with Keanu Reeves.
There was,
which would be like horribly humble. And then one with Ryan Reynolds and there was one. Meryl Streep. That'd be awesome. Anyway,
there was a movie that Ryan Reynolds did recently that was like a time travel adventure kids story. I forget what it was called, but we watched it, and it was amazingly good. It was wholesome family fun with Ryan Reynolds.
Believe that. And Millie, I saw the thing for Renfield, and I'm like, I need to see that. That is
I want to see it, but I'm going to have a significant amount of artificial, I'm going to have some drinks before I watch that. Let's just put it that way.
Well, that's the thing. I think anytime I'd rather watch something, you know, completely out there and absurd, because in some way that's like encouragement. I could write something totally out there and absurd and there's going to be an audience for it.
Sure.
Because that's absurd and it got optioned and carried through for a movie.
Idiots like me went and saw Cocaine Bear.
The Adam Project is what it was called.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It actually, if you're on the fence about that one, it was Ryan Reynolds in a relatively PG way, kids movie fun, wholesome setting.
Eh, not my thing. My thing lately has been horror movies. Lots and lots of really bad ones. I watch the bad ones so you don't have to.
Mine's been, what have I been watching?
It's too late, Tim. Too late.
Nope. Cocaine Bear happened.
Just say and no to how. Cocaine Bear.
Just wait for the sequel. Meth Donkey.
Meth Gator. It's coming. They're making Meth Gator. The same people brought you Sharknado. Meth Gator. I wish I was kidding. I really do. I really do.
Oh, gosh.
There's a talking Nick Cage. There's a movie where he comes back from hell to save his child. Have you seen that one?
No.
I don't.
No, I have not.
The accountant from hell is chasing him down. Not the devil, the accountant, to return him to hell.
See, that sounds plausible.
And he's got this, it's Drive Angry, as Matt says, and that's correct. And the accountant from hell has this identification. He can show it to anybody, and it's whatever it needs to be. He needs to be an FBI agent. It's FBI.
That's a straight Doctor Who ripoff thing.
Needs to be whatever is this here. And the sheriff is like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's really funny. It's a great movie, and I've never actually seen a movie where a man is having graphic sex with a woman and in the middle of a shootout with a bunch of bad guys at the same time before.
I'm sorry, that sounds like a Jason Statham scene.
No, it sounds like a Nick Cage scene. It does sound like a Nick Cage scene.
And I'm pretty sure there was coke involved with that, too. So I think there was.
Oh, yeah. Then there's the Five Nights at Freddy's knockoff that Nick Cage was in and never says a word. Yes, that movie, Willy's Wonderland, fucking brilliant. I looked at it and went, this is going to be the goddamnest, dumbest thing I've ever seen. I fucking laughed my ass off. It is awesome. And he never says a word throughout the entire film. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Absolutely recommend it.
I can't watch them.
It's him beating the shit out of animatronics, that these evil animatronics. It's funny as hell.
I mean, like, I'll watch, you know, serialized stuff, so I'm catching up on Picard and loving the crap out of it, because I love a good callback for old characters. And Jerry Ryan is just love it to pieces. And I'm watching Mayor of Kingstown, which is so good. So good. Jeremy Renner. I'm just, after his accident, they're probably not going to have anything after it, because his character is so central to it.
And he's kind of fucked himself up just a tad.
Yeah.
He might recover enough to return. One never knows. I doubt he's ever going to be doing Avengers stuff again.
Right. And that's the thing. With this particular series, it's nowhere near as physical.
Right. Yeah.
But it's really, really good stuff.
I watched the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. where they brought
they
in...
had such a thing?
They
yeah,
did.
I haven't watched it yet.
They did. And he had the chemistry between him and the actress that is playing his protege was really good. It was a fun one to watch.
I'm still catching up on the different, you know, Marvel spinoff series.
They're like bunnies.
You've got to like pick and choose what you want to watch. Like, I didn't watch Moon Knight. I watched She-Hulk because there was the promise of. Because
it was Alec McBeal with the Hulk.
That's not fair. Oh, that's perfectly accurate. No, it's because there was the promise of like Daredevil and being in that universe. And I loved Daredevil and I loved Charlie Cox's take on the character. And I really did want like that piece back in there. And I watched Ms. Marvel because it seemed like a really cool premise, and I liked the character, and I was really glad I did, because there were a bunch of actors that I'd recognized from other properties showing up. And it was just bright and colorful and just so good. But the other, I haven't made time for them.
You haven't seen Loki?
No, I saw Loki.
You must like, stop immediately and go watch Loki.
No, that was like a whole family watch, and I have thoughts about Tom Hiddleston and his abilities to portray that character and certain costume choices, and we will leave it at that. There's character inspiration in there somewhere. I might just watch it again for research purposes.
Yes, so sad. Anyway.
Veronica, you got the something there. You're going to wipe that away. It's like look like drool or something. I don't know. It's just, you know.
You know. I was brought in here to provide a different perspective.
And I am not ever going to try and staunch your perspective.
Oh my gosh.
We need it.
Hang on, leave my mouse here. And I completely forgot. Mildred says Charlie Cox is adorable. I loved him in Stardust. I totally forgot he was in Stardust. But that there is a perfect story. Like there is a perfect, like encapsulated, you know, fairy tale adventure story with really good characters, and Robert De Niro in his cameo is so good. So good.
He has a cameo.
It might involve singing.
Oh, God. Who allowed him to sing? Who thought that was a good idea?
Oh, my gosh. Ryan Reynolds. We're back to Ryan Reynolds again.
We can go back to Ryan Reynolds. That's fine.
Ryan Reynolds was in a musical with, oh, God. The one that did the Christmas elf thing. Can't remember the actor's name.
Oh, Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. It was amazing.
I'll take your word for it.
No, you should see it. It was, it's not my bag. It was amazing. There was singing. There was dancing. Oh, it was great.
Was it on TikTok?
No, it was a real movie.
Huh.
So like a Netflix movie?
There we go. I found it. I love this. A musical version of Charles Dickens' story of a miserly misanthrope who's taken on a magical journey. Oh, dear.
It was, I didn't really want to watch it, but I sat down and immediately discovered I was wrong. It was amazing.
I found a clip. I am pasting it into the Discord chat because...
This show has not had a single fucking word about writing.
Writers take inspiration from all different places. And some stories show up again and again.
Oh, Matt says his wife hated it. He loved it. That's usually a good sign. That sounds like Carrie and I. Completely different ideas of what is good. In a lot of ways. Huh. We made no promise of staying on topic. Look,
we only barely saw the topic on the horizon.
I tried.
We waved as it was passing by.
I tried so hard.
There was a Doppler effect when we went past the topic.
It didn't even matter.
But, you know, do we promise to stay on topic or do we promise to provide entertaining and witty repartee?
Are you not entertained?
Witty repartee in this show? When did that happen? I missed it. Oh, wait. You're talking about chat. Well, since we're doing this in reverse order, we're at the 52-minute mark. Terry, what the hell have you been up to?
I think it's far too late for that. It's far too late for that.
God damn it. It's like we're gone for a week and we forget how to do the show. Damn it.
I spent my week.
Tim says Paul quotes Linkin Park. Didn't have that on the bingo card.
I never made the bingo cards, did I? I spent my week sending out emails to casting directors and publishers to try and get more work, which I hate doing because I hate the idea of cold calling people and I hate sending emails because someone's going to think I'm going to waste their time. But I got two replies and somebody sent me back a follow-up with, oh, this just came past our desk. You want to audition for it? Yes, please. So that's what I did this morning. I recorded auditions.
That's awesome.
It was very cool. Thank you.
I'm editing. Very exciting. More Patrick the Assassin stuff.
If that Patrick guy is here, he has not sounded off, and I'm very, very upset with him over that.
He's here. You know that perfectly matches up.
That's why he's the perfect assassin.
He just waltzed right into their secret headquarters, stole the cutter they stole from him back again, and left.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He makes a great foil, doing stuff, being where people can't find him and doing things where they should be able to find him and can't. It fits the whole thing that I wanted to do just fine. So it's a great homage to Patrick.
Oh, that's awesome. I still can't finish this book.
What's the battle scene up to now? 90,000 words?
No, that's over. That's over. We have another one to write.
Why they got to fight again? They fought once. You didn't get
everybody's dead. Oh, my God. Who are you going to kill now?
There's fucking reasons, okay? I think the book is swinging in around 135 or 140 at this point. I'm not sure it's ever going to fucking stop. But it has to because I started podcasting it to my patrons. I could just kill everybody, Terry. You keep telling me that will solve all my problems. Just kill everybody.
Sounds legit.
The good news is Neptune Scars has a publisher. Severed is picking up that series. Ooh. So I have told them June-ish date for manuscript submission. So my patrons are getting the first chapters now. They got two chapters yesterday and today, one chapter each day. So that's going to take a long time to record. I'm really looking forward to that, but I got to get it finished so I can get it to the betas after I do another pass and get all that shored up while I'm recording it, because I'm an idiot, because that's how I roll. So there's other stuff going on that I can't talk about at the moment, but that's pretty much about it. I just have to keep editing and doing stuff on Outbreak as well. So I've been busy. I've been busy, very busy. As I write shorter books, Paul's stories keep getting longer.
There's a finite number of words in the universe. And this is how we establish the balance.
Yeah, the problem is not the words. It's the plot. I love how Terry's still using his lint roller. I love how he's still... It's like takes a paw. He's like a cat, right? Cat just like Shadow will just be in the middle of something and then suddenly he starts bathing for no reason. Terry is doing that with the lint roller, in case you couldn't hear over this microphone. That's what that sound is.
One of my possible three feline companions decided to curl up in the bucket on the side of my desk.
Perfect.
Yes, because he is not a lap cat.
Mildred, don't you throw that back in my face.
Mildred, don't you dare use his words against him.
Paul talks about people needing editors, directors, all the while his books get longer. Now, wait a minute here. When you have 7 or 8 points of view, you have a couple of decisions to make, which is cut them and then find out you can't, or just go ahead and let it rock, and then go back and say, oh, I don't need this point of view, and cut it. And then this, 20,000 words disappear. I'm not sure I can cut any of them.
Talking about that reminds me of something we were talking about earlier. There's an episode of Strange New Worlds that my wife and I are almost done with season one, where they're basically reliving a fantasy novel. So all of the Star Trek actors are dressed up in fantasy garb, doing whatever they're doing aboard the ship. And Captain Pike, who's played by Anson Mount, is like a treacherous, brown-nosing royal assistant. And he is just so obviously having tremendous fun playing that particular role. The faces he makes, the things that he's doing is just amazing.
I remember that episode. It made me think of the series The Magicians.
Yes, I love that show.
Just how well he would have fit in that with, and just how much he was having, like you say, he was having fun.
They were all having fun. You could see of the actors were just having a blast playing something completely unrelated to what they were doing.
Somebody put fantasy in my sci-fi. Somebody put sci-fi in my fantasy.
Tim says, to paraphrase Diana Wynne Jones, writers enjoy the taste of a few things less than their own words. Boy, ain't that the truth. Ain't that the truth for most of us, except for Terry. Terry loves every word he puts down. He loves.
Oh, that's totally not true. Totally not true. Otherwise, when I'm editing, I wouldn't cut 15%.
I'm glad to know your words suck just like the rest of ours. I don't know how much floor, whatever, something like that. There was a four there.
I have no idea what you meant, but I think you may be on something and it's time to leave.
I'm not on something. I'm just sitting here going, how do I get us out of here? How do I do that?
And you start talking about coffee and we leave.
I think I do that by saying, if you have a question or comment about this show, you can reach us at show@devrobotsociety.com. You can find me on Mastodon, Paul_E_Cooley at VYRSE.social. You can find us on Facebook at the listeners of the Dev Robot Society Facebook group, or Terry Ringel's All the Madness. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/DRS podcast, where you should subscribe so you get access to all the episodes when they come out. And yes, they're coming out every week in case you missed the live show. If you want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/DRS podcast and buymeacoffee.com/DRS podcast, where for $1 or $2 a month, you can get access to exclusive shows like DRS After Dark, which is coming up next. Coming up in 10 minutes for all y'all cool cats. just want to hang out with the three degenerates on the camera. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm and not sure that's the same show that we're thinking
at
about.
At the $10 level, you get your names read out. $10 patrons are Tony L. Joy, Rick Shaw, Lisa Slack, Isabel Cushy, and Tim Niederreiter. Thank you to all of our patrons for helping us pay bills so we can keep the show going. Really appreciate it. And the last thing we have to do is admit there's no 12-step program that can hold us. Hells no. We are addicted to caffeine, and we get ours from CorpseCoffee.com. Visit CorpseCoffee.com. Check out their rave.
Wrong one, Terry.
Terry, why are you holding up your antivirals? Yes. Visit CorpseCoffee.com. Check out their rave boutique teas, their coffees, their wonderfully weird webcomic, and tell DR I sent you. Visit CorpseCoffee.com and get the dead in your cup. And with that, we're out of here before Terry sabotages any more of the show, as he is wont to do. So with that, we'll see y'all on DRS After Doc. After Doc?
After Doc.
After
wow,
doc.
I become Darkwing Duck all of a sudden.
We're getting a little After Doc.
It's obvious I need to take a break, so we're getting the fuck out of here. Y'all enjoy your weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you.
Gonna pack the Doc and the cat pack.
Nobody's listening, Terry. Shut the hell.